Hello and welcome to our Divine Alchemy class. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2025, as a timestamp and marker. So let's just talk about the energies for just a second because this is a very, very important time that we're in, and then we're going to get into our talking point, which is to talk about timelines, how to bend them, and what we can do to create a better experience for ourselves through our conscious awareness, right? Because who doesn't want to know how to interact or relate to what is taking place or the timelines or the universe, and also understand ourselves at a deep from a deeper perspective. So first thing I want to do is talk about energies. And the reason that I want to talk about it is because we just entered into a new year energy, right? 2025 is a 9 year. It's about culminations, endings. And this is very fitting for the time that we're in because we are going to see so many changes this year as we start to really roll into the year. We're hearing about them now. There's a lot of stuff that's coming to light that is kind of like a precursor to what is, but we're going to see a lot of things changing. We're going to see a lot of countries, their governments collapsing, right? We're going to see the medical paradigm collapse. We're going to see the whole insurance paradigm collapse for the medical community and also probably for like car insurance and all that other stuff. For wherever it is out of alignment with the idea of supporting a higher quality of life. We're going to see that start to collapse. We're going to see it collapsing across the schools, so across everything, right? Healthcare, everything. And we're starting to get wind of it now. The biggest one is probably going to be the governments as we're watching these government transitions that are taking place, where the government is, in a position where somebody is stepping out and somebody new is stepping in, and they're aligning with the higher timeline. That's supporting this higher state of consciousness that is going to really start to evolve this year, that we're going to see really being the focal point for what is happening on the earth. Okay, it's not just going to happen here, but the United States are going to be the catalyst for what is to take place because all of the lower echelon energy, right? That lower, denser energy that has been in play for centuries, that has been making hardship in many areas of our lives is now finally coming to an end. It cannot be sustained anymore. We've talked about this at least the last 4 years. I've talked about it even longer through my sharings and my writings, and maybe I don't think my YouTube because that's not around that long. But this has been something in the works for a very, very long time, right? And we're finally seeing, as we've talked about timelines tonight, we're seeing all of these separate timelines that are now integrating, they're now merging, they're now marrying into the one timeline that is presenting for the highest experience for all people, right? Regardless of where you believe your highest place is, it doesn't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter. And so that's why I've always said we don't argue with anybody. We let everybody's entitled to their perception of, their reality, what they think their highest timeline is, because it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, as these timelines all converge into the highest timeline or the highest pointing timeline, right? Because there's always the next one that's higher than that one, right? We have to remember that as we're creating timelines, there's always going to be the next one that's that next highest one that's going to really show us what can be created when we're focusing ourselves, setting intention, and we're creating timelines that will produce the evidence of the thing that is wanted, let's say. Okay. And so we're going to see this playing out on larger scales out there. And it's our job to just continue to hold the space and sit back and just watch. And it's even more important for us to be in our own intention as far as the reality that we want to see playing out. Okay. So I'll share from my own experience, and then this way it'll help you relate. But so you guys know that there's going to be a move here, right? And we kind of, when I talked to Beth weeks ago, we figured like somewhere around February, not February, March or April. But then it kept coming back to me with the whole thing with Joe going into the Game Warden Academy, needing someone to house sit for him. And that timeline was not presenting for him. It just wasn't. Nobody was showing up going like, hey, I'll sit your house for you. It's not going to be a problem, whatever. And so at this one point where I found myself exhausting all resources because nothing else was presenting. Loretta was helping me. Her niece was helping me. We were trying to look for different places for me to go to and everything. And the path of least resistance is house sitting for Joe. Right now, I was in resistance to it because I don't want to live in Florida. And, I was like the proverbial 5-year-old child, kicking and screaming and stamping my feet. And, I don't want to go. I don't want to live in Florida. Right. But not taking into consideration what might be offered in me going, right? Because it's really about the codes. It's not about what I want as much as me seeing what's lining up. Now, the interesting thing here, and I'm going to share another part of this that just happened the other day between Joe and I, but when I was talking to Beth a year ago, 2 years ago, about the homestead, because we had the herbal business together and we thought we were going to do, retreats and communities and stuff like that. And in my mind, my perspective, my thoughts, my visions, my views never changed. It was always 5 acres, 5-acre homestead that would support, whatever. I wasn't sure if it was going to be chickens or, a donkey, a horse, whatever, was not really focused on like the animals, but just knowing it could support growing food and I could have retreats and people could come and they could hang out and spend a week with me or a weekend with me and be in my energy for that time, which can sometimes be challenging for people. I can tell you that right off the bat. Okay. I've had it where I've had people that didn't know me come in to do work in the house. And, one, this is like when I was in the house in Medford, come in to do work on the house, and I was sitting out back, and they started bickering and arguing and fighting and got into such a fight that they didn't do any of the work they were supposed to do. And I was like, yeah, that's what happens, because when you're in my home, and those of you that have been with me in person know it's a very high frequency and your shit comes up. I've had people that walk through the door and sit down, start crying, and they don't know why they're crying, right? Like, so it can be a very, very challenging situation. But I thought, this is really what I feel called to. I don't, there's a lot of things that are going to change over the course of the next couple of years. One of them is the infrastructure of my business. I don't know what that's going to be like yet, but I do know that there's changes and I have to move with what is presenting. So as I put that piece together and I thought the homestead and this and that, and like I was building it, and then Beth would send me a house and I'd be like, no, it has to have 5 acres. That's only got like a quarter of an acre. And like I was very adamant as I sent out my intentions. We're talking a little bit about timeline building right now, okay? So as I sent out my intentions to the universe, I was very, very focused. This is what it's got to look like. This is what it has to have. The rest of it doesn't really matter to me. I don't really want to see my neighbors. I want to be in a place that's very low key. I want to be in a place where, just this very calm, cool environment, whatever. And so, that was always my focus, And then Joe's brother and his wife came separately for sessions because they actually come to the house. They live on Long Island. And they were like, "Oh, we heard you're going to house it. You're absolutely going to love it." And then they started to tell me why they thought I was going to love it. Now, I know his brother probably 10 years. He's been a client for 10 years, right? So his brother knows me. And, and when he said, "You're absolutely going to love it." And then his wife came and she said, "Oh, we believe you're going to love it. And these are the reasons and everything." I thought, well, maybe this really is my manifestation. I've been in resistance to it because it's Florida and it's not where my mind was going, which was the mountains of North Carolina, which, by the way, were washed away in some horrific flooding, right? So the universe is like, "No, Maria, you're not going to the mountains of North Carolina. You're going to Florida." And I'm like, "Okay, I guess I'm gonna let go of my resistance to going to Florida." So I'm on the phone the other day talking to Joe, and we're like, just discussing like everything life. We're not even really talking about the house. And the more I'm like tuning into this, the more I'm like, "Yeah, this is really pretty cool." The next day, I text him something and he texts me back, and we start this string of texting going back and forth. And at one point, he said something to me, and I said, "Yeah," I said, "Joe, you know what? I've already resigned myself to this, and I've stopped the kicking and screaming and thrashing about," I said, "and I've just decided I'm fully in. I'm all in on this, and I'm gonna go and just see what this is about, explore this, and see what it has to offer for me." And I said to him, "Who the heck knows?" I was like, "The universe has plans, and then it side rails us. We don't even know it's meant for us. And then the universe is laughing because we're so blindsided and caught off guard." I said, "It could be something like, I fall in love with your neighborhood, your block, your house. And then suddenly your neighbor is selling a house. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to buy that house. And then Joe and I are neighbors." And he says to me, "Well, funny you should mention that." He said, "The other day I was talking to my neighbor and he was talking about selling his house. And he said, 'Well, if you're selling your house, let me know because I'm going to buy it.'" And I was like, "Which neighbor's that?" And he's like, "The one right behind me." And I was like, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." I said, "Does it have a barn for horses?" He said, "No, but that's easy to do." And I said to him, "Okay, does it have property?" He said, "Yeah, it has 5 acres." I said, "Wait a minute. It has 5 acres." And he's like, "Yeah." He said, "Could you imagine, Maria, we could combine our properties, have 10 acres between us. Do you know what kind of homestead that would be? Do you have any idea what that would look like?" He was like, "We could build a barn for the horses, get a couple of donkeys and cows." He goes, "Add to the chickens." And I'm like, "Whoa, wait a second. Who's feeding all of that?" I was like, I'm still working with people, so we both started laughing because in the next breath he said to me, "I think this psychic thing might be something you might want to try out because it seems to be a gift that you have, this sense of knowing, whatever." So it became like this lighthearted joke, but it was in all seriousness the idea of the potential that lies right there that would have been unseen, or I would never have even looked at it as an opportunity because I was so against Florida, right? So what this is showing through my own creation is that the intention for what I desired never wavered, right? That intention that I set out there was very focused intention. The other part of it that I thought was, I really wanted somewhere that I could maybe do more art too and express myself with art and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Debbie, out of the blue, sends me something on the area, Crystal River. And she's like, look, it's got all these art festivals and like a gallery and all this other stuff, you know, small town vibe. And I was like, what? What? The universe is manifesting more of this because I'm being a conduit for the attraction and the connection and the match to it. How awesome is that? So that's what we're talking about tonight. Right, that this is the nature of what it is that we're talking about tonight, because the one thing that's going to be really important in these crazy energies that we're in is to tune to our destiny, to our path. Okay, and I knew that we were coming into the energy of destiny probably about a year or two ago as I was starting to watch the nodes in. It's an astrological aspect. I started to watch them shift and I thought, okay, and I'm starting to see the North Node becoming more prevalent as the South Node is no longer in the focus because South Node was all karma, right? And all of us are doing such a great job clearing the karma and letting go and shifting into new realities, higher aligned, right? As we're letting the universe lead us to where we're going. And so the more I saw that, and the more I saw the destiny, the more I started to tune to my personal chart, and I started to see the evolution of this, you know, situation with Beth that happened, manifesting itself. Because once Mars went into Cancer, I knew that it was going to be very intense, heavy energy, and it was hitting my home sector in my chart, right? So once that happened, I was like, I just know the energies are, you know, preparing me for something. And I had a feeling it was going to be this because I knew fourth house was moving, right? So all of that started to present itself. And then because I had this awareness that the everything was happening right in its perfection because I could see it from the perspective of the chart and feel it and be actualized to it, that I started to just allow myself to be in flow and be a receiver to it. And I think sometimes for most of us, you know, I've been involved with astrological charts my whole life. My mother loved astrology. Although she did not do it, she was looking, you know, she was connected to a lot of people that did. So I have a little bit of knowledge there. So I'm a little bit lucky in that way. But you know, we have to hold the intention first because we're the conduit for the creation of everything that we desire, right? We have to hold the intention for what it is that we are wanting to create or manifest. And if we hold ourselves, like I held myself to the 5 acres. Now, Joe's property is 5 acres, right? It's 5 acre homestead. He's got chickens, he's got a peacock. Lord knows what else I'll find there, but that's for when I get there, right? And so, you know, I have to look at that. I have to look at it in its seriousness and go, okay, well, I'm doing this for the next 18 months because he's going to be away for 18 months. So I have to make that commitment to do that and then allow myself to just unfold and, you know, become like the blossom where I stand, right? In that dynamic. And that's what we have to do on a regular basis. Because while I was in resistance fighting Florida was actually there all along because Florida was there, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago when he first got accepted into the academy. And how it became 18 months is because first call, he got offered a job already and he didn't even go through the academy, right? And they said, you have to live in this county that you're going to be working in for at least a year. So he's like, what do I do now? Because I can't let my house sit for a year without anybody in it. I need to make sure that if there's a pipe breaks or something like that, that like the house is going to be okay. So then I had to really sit with that and think, what the hell am I doing with the next 18 months of my life? And then I realized, as I said it to myself, if anybody had the time to do this for him, I do, right? And so there's so much more that unpacks with that Joe has done for me, as a human being, as a client, and the amount of people that he sent my way, and so I'm like, who else could do this for him? I could do this for him, right? I could do this. And so it just kind of manifested and unfolded that way. Diana saying her and her husband were just looking at homes at Crystal River. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It's in the middle of, like, excuse my language, but bunk funk nowhere. Like, right, it is nowhere, nowhere. But if you like nowhereness and you don't mind not being in a big city, you'll love Crystal River because it is in the middle of nowhere. Okay. That was something else too, because it's the type of situation with the town. Like, if you blink or sneeze, you've missed it because you've gone right through it, right? Loretta's like, yeah, that's perfect for me. See, there's some of us that want to slow down, and that's okay with us, but then other people need a little bit more in life, right? So we have to know who we are in order for the universe to bring through what it is that we're desiring. And the reason that we're talking about this, and I'm including this in our conversation, is because it's really important for us to have an awareness that the more we hold intention as we're creating our heart's desire, the faster in these higher aligned energies, the faster the universe is going to bring that to us, right? It's going to come very, very fast. And it's actually our job to be, the pitcher, the catcher, the batter, the umpire, like the whole team, right? We're just going to be all of it, the one. And so in these very, very fast energies, we need to make sure that we're lined up and ready to go, because if we're putting it out there, it's going to come at some moment, and you're not going to have a whole lot of time just to, mull it over and think about it. It's going to be like, does it have everything in that I've checked off on all my boxes? It has everything I checked off on my boxes except the state. And if you ask anybody that knows me, the thing that I've been saying is I really don't know where I want to live, right? But I didn't want to live in Florida. And the universe is like, well, there's something there that you're needing. So guess where you're going? Pack your bags. It's going to be Florida, right? And so I'm okay with that. I've gotten okay with it because I know how the universe works. And so this is something that we're going to have to be prepared for, because the universe will bring to us exactly what it is that we're asking for, but it might not look exactly like we have it in our mind. Right? It might not look exactly like we think it should be. Okay. And so we kind of have to get out of our head with how it should look, because we want to go with how does it feel? How is it feeling? Is it checking off all the boxes? Does it feel good in the interim? Right? Like, I don't know what living in Florida feels like. I've been there a couple times to a couple different areas, didn't impress me. But, everybody keeps telling me I'm gonna love where he lives. So that's where I'm going, right? And I'm gonna just trust the universe is right because it knows what I need. Now, how often are you putting information out there to the universe to build back what it is that you need for you, but you're not fully trusting in what's coming through because you have an idea in your head that you've pinned to your wall as your dartboard that you think it has to be that, right? But it's not coming in that area or in that shape or in that color or in that form, but it is exactly what you've been asking for. Okay. And I always say, and you know this from other classes, is that We could be asking for something and think we're right with where we think we should be. I mean, look at North Carolina. I was not right there, right? Wasn't going to the mountains. And that if I and I could have ended up there, because in 2019, my brother and his wife had friends of theirs who had a condo. The couple moved in together. There was one condo free, and they wanted me to rent it. And I was actually on the fence about taking that condo. Now, if I had taken that condo, I'm 1,000% sure I would have been in the area that was affected by the flood, right? So life has a way of presenting curveballs so that you don't get yourself caught up in some place that you're not meant to be. And the energy this year is going to be fast because it's a 9 year. It's all about collapse, right? We know how when the wrecking ball comes in a 9 year, it knocks everything down. The 1 year is about rebuilding. So the 1 year is going to take a little longer to get going. Okay. And the rebuild on it. But the 9 year is going to move you very, very quickly. It's going to collapse realities and open up new pathways. It's up to us to step into those new pathways. It's up to us to see what it is that the universe is offering us. Okay. And so as we roll into this year, on the 25th of January, we're going to see seven planets line up in a row. Okay. Now that's going to be a significant date for us because it's going to spark something, kick something off in the magical universe as it is, right? And start to create faster change, probably faster than we're seeing. And Tamara's saying, yeah, look at what's happening in California, right? Palisades and LA and all of that's on fire. Now, the sad part about this is those people in that area did not step up for themselves. They didn't step up for themselves because when their governor decided he was going to cut the water and not fill the water for fire hydrants or for the fire departments or for the planes that carry the water, thank God for Canada because Canada has planes that are dropping water on the area to try and help in some way. But they are not able to manage that fire because there's no water in that area to put the fire out. Okay. And that's becoming a problem. And so the reason that the governor did that is, if I'm not mistaken, because I did see this just today, I believe it's to save a fish called a mackerel or something like that, right? Like a small, tiny little mackerel fish. And I know people can eat them, but in the scheme of things, your people need water and you're looking to save a mackerel, which didn't work. The mackerel did not work out, right? In light of the water. Now, you see, this is where some ill effect of a bad decision or a lower level consciousness is now creating attention to and a need for a shift. And unfortunately, the people that are being affected by this, and there's always karma involved in a situation like this. It's always very karmic, okay? Are being affected by this because they have gone along with the bad planning of the government. Look at what's happening in New York City. They are now charging a new toll, congestion pricing, right? Pricing, excuse me. And I just saw something yesterday on that. Not only are commuters pissed that they have to pay $9 in and out of the city, right? The fire department and emergency vehicles are no longer simply coming into the city on a regular basis to be available in the city because they don't want to pay $9 a vehicle. Okay, so what's going to happen there? New Yorkers are going to have to step up to the plate because they didn't. They allowed this to happen without rallying, right? They allowed this to happen. and or the police, the firemen, first responders, they can't strike because, you know, I had this conversation with Loretta, but they can step up together and walk off the job and just be like, hey, we're not dealing with this. This is bullshit, right? So it's forcing things to happen that might not happen or wouldn't have happened in the past, but now because these energies are too high and are really forcing change to happen, it can't get swept under the rug anymore. It's not going to be okay, right? So all it's going to take is something big in Manhattan now with this congestion pricing. What is wrong with me today? Congestion pricing. And something's going to happen, and I don't know, maybe nobody will go to work tomorrow. Maybe they'll pick a day and nobody will go to work, right? Maybe people will just boycott the city altogether. I don't know. Maybe smart people will step up and do that and just not play the game, right? So this is where these energies are asking us for change. Stop being compliant. Stop giving in. Stand up for yourself. Look at what is presenting in your reality and say, it's time for me to make a change that I have been ignoring because what is taking place is not in my, is no longer in my eyes best good, right? I could tell you, I did see that here. The last 2 years living in this house, I did see that with Beth. I'm like, this is really not going to work. It's not going anywhere. We need to just separate and just go our separate ways, right? And because it didn't happen, more, I'm going to say consciously, right? Because we were both in a bit of denial. It happened through the energies. The energies created the dynamic, created the perfect storm. Daughter comes into the picture, fight happens, and then here's the separation. And now, the end of February, we're going our separate ways, right? Both going to Florida, but it's two different areas we'll be living in, okay? And so the universe will do that. The universe will take you and move you along if you are not moving yourself along. Okay. So we have to be conscious of that. And the other thing that is very important to be aware of, we just had another M flare just a few minutes ago. But what's also important to be conscious of is that these energies are going to be looking to shift us out of the third dimensional states of consciousness. It's going to be looking to pull out those cords of attachment, the strands, the programming, right? The unconscious aspects of ourselves that we're refusing to let go of, right? Wherever we've kind of rooted ourselves in. And over the weekend, starting Saturday night, I woke up Sunday morning. I couldn't stand up. I could barely get out of bed. For years, since my divorce from my second husband back in 2000, I've had a niggling pain in my right hip, right? And it's kind of that thing where it's like, oh, I know I have to be out there on my own, moving forward, whatever, right? It's always easier when there's somebody else and you can, you're two people leaning on each other, whatever. But so I was living alone for a long time until I met my husband, Pete, and we started dating in 2004, got married in 2005. And I know. This weekend, it was a whole big thing coming through for me because this pain in my right hip was unwinding the last 15 years of the energies that I have held in my body that have been stuck. That's been that relationship and this situation because I was with him 7 years and then we filed for divorce. And now this situation, living together 7 years, and now we're going our separate ways. And the two mirror each other in such a strong way because what had come into my awareness as I sat with this pain, so I can move through it, I could release it, I could be okay with the pain that I was feeling, I could be okay with not being able to stand up, I could be okay with not being able to move, was that, at the last minute, there was rejection with him. He really didn't want to get married at the last minute, but what he didn't say was he didn't want to get married. He didn't want to get married. He didn't want to live together. He was uncomfortable, couldn't do it, had a very hard time with it, right? I thought back to and flashed on when we first moved into the house in Medford, and it was going to be the first time we were sharing a house together, Beth and I, and I almost felt like she was uncomfortable with that idea, but it was never said, right? So I'm like, wow, look at that. That is mirroring each other. So what? I chose the same circumstances over and over again because I didn't get the last lesson on it. So we're going to repeat another lesson of it if we're not paying attention. Right? Do you see that? What you continue to participate in, you are going to continue to create in every dynamic. It doesn't matter if it's not a relationship. With my ex-husband, that was a relationship. There was intimacy, it was physical, whatever. This is just a friendship. But it didn't matter because it was still the same exact dynamic. Okay. So we have to be really careful now going forward that we're not creating in those old energies anymore, that it is done. It is finished. It's done. And that's one of the reasons the universe has me going to the situation at Joe's because I will be there by myself. Right? I will be dealing with just me, myself, and I by myself. And it will be a phenomenal way for me to unpack the past, unpack all the energy, unpack all the emotions and everything else that presents, right? Plus, it will also deepen my connection within myself, like take me to that next level, stuff that I've been waiting for patiently, right? But if we're not conscious and we're still playing out the old ways, look at the people in California that are on fire. Not the people, but the houses on fire, right? I mean, they were banking on the governor to do the right thing and save them. And oh, yeah, okay, it's okay if you take our water. Yeah, okay, right? Compliancy doesn't work. Doesn't work. We have to start standing up for ourselves. We have to start standing up. We have to start creating new opportunities for ourselves, moving in a direction that is in perfect alignment with who we are, what we want, what we desire, and where we want to go. Because if we keep playing out the same dynamic, we're just going to keep getting the same thing until it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Okay? This year is not that year to play that game. This year is going to bonk us in the head if we're not paying attention to what it's asking us for. Okay? So, how do we create a timeline that we're looking for? Right? Does anybody want to step up and take a stab at that? No, nobody does. If I said I'd give you a free session, anybody want to take a stab at creating a timeline? Still no. How about $100? No. Okay. Yeah. So, it's hold on 1 second. Something's popping up here. So this is a situation, right? Where we create timelines that are not in sync or not in balance or not in alignment with who we are, what we want, what we desire. Okay. And we have to look at what it is that is our greatest desire. And so, one of the things that is most important with this is to know at the deepest place within you, what do you really want? And if you don't know what you really want, You have to take time and you have to get clear and you have to sit with that and say, what do I really want? Okay. Because we could, have our hand in a shit ton of different things, right? Like I do herbal medicine, I do this work, I could do readings, I could do animal communication. I mean, there's a ton of things I could do out there, but what is it that really makes me happy? I could do art. Art makes me really happy, right? If I could do art all day, I'd be happy doing art all day. If somebody would pay me to do art all day, I would be happy to do art all day, right, Loretta? Wouldn't we be happy with that? Yeah. So, I mean, we have to know what it is that makes us happy because we might be a multitasker. We might be a jack of all trades and a master of none. But we have to have an idea of what it is out of everything else in our world. What is it that makes us the most happy? Okay, Tamara?
I was trying to raise my hand before, but I couldn't find the button.
That's okay.
I was going to say, because I always loved flying. I've been flight attendant my whole life. But now with Vitamals, like I just don't even have a trip to LA tomorrow, actually. I just don't even feel like going flying tomorrow, maybe because it's so cold. But I really think that Vitamals is my purpose. And I think if you have any negative thoughts, or if you feel have feelings that you keep with you every day, like say anger, guilt, I think you're blocking the timeline for what that you want to
Absolutely.
create. Because I had
Absolutely.
that knowing the other day that I always knew about it, but I never felt it. You know, that first time I really, oh my God, the power like of love just took over. Although I saw how I was attracting all those things by still really living in resentment and anger. And so I think if you're clear about yourself and what you want to do, and you have nothing distracting you, and then you find synchronicities like you have with going to Florida and start following the breadcrumbs, that's what I think you created.
Well, what Tamara's talking about, I'm just going to clarify that for the class. What Tamara's talking about is she actually had an awakening the other day. She had listened to a video. We won't get into the video, but she had listened to a video. It was spiritual in nature. It was talking about reality, the nature of who we are at our deepest core. How the universe works and all of that sort of stuff. And upon listening to the video, something clicked with her, right? And very profoundly, she had this moment where suddenly, right, and this is an awakening, suddenly she realized that she didn't have to blame herself for some of the things that she's done in her life. She didn't have to hold herself in such judgment. And in that moment, like she just mentioned, her field expanded exponentially, right? She became the universe in that moment. Okay. The field just opens and fills the world, right? Fills the earth, fills the world. It becomes so big, it's almost overwhelming. When that love pours in. And in that moment, as she related to me, she was able to forgive herself and forgive everybody else, and then realize what was it that you told me? That our only purpose here is to find our happiness. Is that what you said? Our joy and happiness
And just love
and
yourself.
love other people. Isn't that what I've been teaching this whole time?
Yes, but it was so overwhelming. Like I don't know. I don't know if it was my mother coming to me, and then I was to the video and all the things you told me. But it's that it was interesting that also I felt my mother so strong in my presence that the night before that happened. But I always felt very guilty about some things, and then like just everything just went away. And then I also always knew about like the in the tree, like the veins, and in like fruit. But I felt that connection, like with everything, like veins that we have, with veins and fruit, like everything in one together.
Yeah. I mean that's the nature of what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, but this is consciousness expanding. It opens your field and you feel the love and connectedness to literally everything in the planet. And the reason that that happens that way is because so if we look at this from particulate matter and we're made up of matter, and we look at it from the essence of who we are, and you always hear me talking about how important it is for us to really pay attention to our body and take care of our body and be in a place where we're creating from our highest place within us and focusing on ourselves and not placing our focus on the outside world, and we're not looking and seeking out other people. We're sourcing from within, right? So important. That's what Tamara was feeling, which is why she's feeling so emotional to it, because when you open to that love, you're opening to yourself as source consciousness. So if you think about it from particulate matter, and we talk about this all the time, right? But now is the time the universe is asking me to really go to the next level with this so that you can all understand yourselves at a deeper level. If you look at the earth, at the universe, right? At the solar system and the stars and the planet, and you take that and you put it in one of those Russian nesting dolls. You take it and you put it in one of those, right? And you think about that nesting doll having all of that information right inside of it, right? And then you look outside and beyond that universe, you will see another universe. Or it's actually a universe within that universe, right? So the universe that is around us, if we took I forget what the device is, it's very scientific. Hopefully it'll come to me, but if we took this very scientific type of oscillating microscope, and we use it to, let's say, look at one of our cells, right? And we look at one of our cells, and we're going to see the cell actually has an atom. And then we look inside the atom, and then we see in the atom that the atom has a proton, a neutron, an electron, right? And then we allow ourselves to go beyond that. We're actually going to see another universe that ha and have to look down in again for a cell with an atom. And the atom has a nucleus and a proton and an electron, okay? Because that's how we are created. And most of the time, when people can't source within themselves, it's because they are not trying to source within themselves. They're sourcing by projecting their consciousness out into the outer reality. So when we're meditating, we need to bring that meditation back into the heart center, which is why I always refocus you guys back into the center of your heart, because we're focusing there. So if you imagined that we take this whole universe that we're in, right, and we take this universe and then we look within the universe and find that within this whole big universe, there's another universe, like a nesting doll. And then we go to that universe and then we expand it out and we start to explore it and look at it, and then we find that there's actually another universe in the center of that universe. And we're like, how is this possible? This is just like a Russian nesting doll. And then we take that universe under a magnifying glass and we expand that out again and we look at it and it expands out. And we're like, oh my goodness, there's another universe in there, right? It's because that's how the universe is created. And the idea that everything is outside of us is a false reality, because everything outside of us actually exists inside of us. It's created from the inner reality that we're experiencing within ourselves. It just feels like it's the outside of us because, as we've said this many times before, it's the projection of consciousness onto the screen that is Gaia so that we could have this living life experience, right? And the reason that we say the source within you, or everybody is source, or everybody is God consciousness, or you are a fractal of source wanting to know itself, is because that is absolute truth, right? It is, you are the essence of the consciousness that you're seeking. But if you came to realize that you are pure consciousness, like Tamara has realized in the moment that she had this tremendous expansion, then we would not be looking outside of ourselves to anyone else or for anything else, because we would know it all from the state of consciousness within us, right? When I teach somebody to read, and we're talking about like reading people, reading situations, reading animals, whatever, right? I'm not teaching them to go outside of the consciousness. I'm not teaching them to go outside of that, of themselves, to that being as a projection, because that being as a projection does not exist on the outside. That being as a projection exists right within us. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. When we look at somebody who we deem as like, this all-knowing, right? Like I hear people talk about Paramahansa Ananda, is this very famous yogi, and the Buddha, and like all of these, higher level deities and whatever. The only reason that we would look up to them and want to emulate them, and think that they are greater than we are, is because they've actualized themselves, and they actually know their abilities. They know their innate ability within themselves. They know that they have everything already within them, and there is nothing outside of them to source to. The only thing that we have to do is hold the desire, the focus, the intention, the will for what it is that we're wanting to experience in our reality. But that becomes a challenge to us when we're listening to other people, we're taking in other people's, ideologies, dogma, whatever you want to call it, about how the universe works, or, what the experience should be, right? Should be like. And I'm going to tell you, because we're all fractals of this consciousness, and we're all individual consciousness coming together, like in this community, to have this experience together, to see what it would be like to have this experience together and play together, right? It's almost like a game, right? We show up here and we go, oh, I wonder who's going to show up tonight. Isn't that exciting to see, to wait, to look, to know? I don't know. I'm excited to see who's gonna show up, right? The other day when I had the hip problem, I was like, oh, universe, I am so ready for healing. And, someone who's pops in and out of the community, all of a sudden sends me a message in Messenger and says, hey, you're on my mind. Like, you're really on my mind today. What's going on? Like, I never feel that about you, but something I feel is like, are you okay? And I was like, huh. Actually, I'm not. I'm having a really serious problem with my hip. I can't even stand. Can you imagine that? And like when I do stand, I feel like I'm 90 years old and I have to take 10 minutes to straighten out my back because my back is in so much pain. I can't. I mean, now that's not the case anymore. It's like, I could dance the dance and jiggle and wiggle and, shake it up a little bit, right? But the other day I couldn't do that. The other day I was getting out of my chair like, oh, I can't straighten up, right? That's how I sounded. So if you had talked to me the other day, it wouldn't have been good because that's how I sounded. But today, that's not how I sound because I recognized myself and be like, what am I doing here? Do I need this? Do I have to have this experience? Do I need to, play with this? Do I need to stay in this? Do I understand this? And then I realized I don't have to keep it, right? I don't have to play with that. I don't have to be a victim to it. I just can move on with my life. But it was very liberating because in that moment, I was able to have this exchange with this lovely being, who's been my student for a very long time. And she kind of heard the clarion call and she was like, I am going to send you some healing light if that's okay with you. And I was like, absolutely, I accept. And she did. And the progression of between her and I and everything. And then, and she said to me, I feel like you need to cry. She goes, I hope it's okay that I say that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I know. And she said to me, she goes, can I say something else too? Like, I just want to tell you what's coming through. I'm like, yes, please do that. Share with me. And she said, I feel like, because you're like so high level, like this otherworldly, that you sometimes you can't do things like that, like crying. I'm like, yeah, it takes some kind of, circumstance or situation or something like that. Yeah, that's spot on. It's like, I'm going to work on that. Like, I'm thinking, do I watch a sad movie? Like, what do I do? Right. So, and that happens sometimes where I just, I can't. I'm in the knowing of it. I'm in the knowing. You can't move the energy. I'm just, so I've got to work through it, whatever. So then I had this strong awareness. I'm going to send her some money. She supports me, supports my business, supports mentor sessions and coming in here and all that stuff. Send her money. Yeah, send her some good money. So I sent her some money. And then I get a video message from her crying that she wasn't looking for money. I was like, I don't care. You heard the clarion call. And now I'm crying because you're crying. I'm crying. I was crying, guys. I was crying. That was the cry I needed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Like, I could not cry. I couldn't cry. And the universe said, send her money. She deserves it. And I said, you're right. She deserves it. I'm gonna send her money. And I did. And she sent me a beautiful video message back. And she was crying. And because she was crying, I started crying. And I was like, I love you too. Thank you so much for making me cry. And that was it. The next day, I woke up, I could feel the healing already, the release, everything just dissipating and whatnot. Sometimes we can get in our head thinking, like she clearly was in her head for like a minute. Do I do this? Do I not? Do I tell her? Do I not? Can I give this message that feels too big to give because she's my mentor, And but is that really true? Right? At the end of the day, we're all learning from each other. We're all here to have this experience and share with each other, right? Jen mentors with me for animal communication. She's a brilliant animal communicator. I mean, if you're looking for somebody to read your pets, go with her. Book a session. She's got a discount right now, right? Book the session. Loretta's had a reading with her. She knows she's very, very good, right? And she'll be the first one to tell you, like, nothing's off the table because how can you get better at what you're doing if you can't come forth with your information and you think, I'm higher than you. I can't. It can't. There's no way, right? Just like I could not have cried if that exchange had not taken place. And I so needed it in that moment, but there was nothing else. There was nobody else. But she stepped up to the plate. This is what I'm trying to say to you, is that we could look outside all we want, right? We could make other things bigger than we are. We could make other experiences more important, but at the end of the day, Tamara was just watching a video, and in that moment, something pinged within her. Probably not even anything that was said in specific, because it's not that type of video. It's very scientific, right? I know this for because I knew of this person, Nassim Harriman, from 2000 and I don't know, 20 years ago or something like that. So it's not, like it's very scientific stuff. We're talking about Einstein relativity and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like he was talking any kind of healing or anything like that. But in that moment, Tamara surrendered, complete surrender to just sitting and being and listening. And in that moment, because she was willing to participate in that way, she was able to expand her field and she was able to feel herself as the universe. And that love that she felt within her coming to her was her own love, the love that Tamara holds innately. It was nobody else's love. How about that? So we want to make it, because that's how the human mind is, right? We want to make it a something else, a someone else's. Okay? And it's not. It's at the end of the day, it's all us. It's all our stuff. Jen?
No, so I just want to say it's just so funny about the timelines because today something very interesting happened. So we have, I'll just tell the group. So we have a business, which we have a building and so forth. So my husband got this idea. He's like, you know what? Let's take our business and let's possibly make it into apartments. And maybe we can, do some of these apartments. So I'm like, okay, that sounds like a great idea. So he looked into it and everything, and he's like, oh, he's like, if this all works out, now this is not even like my husband, but this way he said to me, he goes, if this all works out, he's like, we can sell this whole building. He goes, we can get you a farm for your retire and you can run the farm. I'm like, oh, I'm like, that sounds really good. I like this talking, So long story short, it didn't work out, but that was okay. Like the whole idea didn't work out because of the variances and so forth. But at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I'm getting where I want to be. The universe, I guess, is showing me where I'm going. So I'm excited about that. The next question I guess I want to ask is, so my husband normally works nights like all the time. I would say 7 days a week. It's been like that my whole marriage. Now he's been home like three nights a week, and like I have pains, of course, in my back. I was asking my back, like, why it's hurting and stuff. I feel like, in some senses, it's all about me having to let go of him being here at this point and me not being like the mom, the dad. Does that feel right to you?
Does that feel right to you?
It kind of does, but it's like I can't get rid of it. Like, I keep on talking to the pains in my back. I keep on talking to my back. I really, want
Where
to get.
in your back is it?
I would say it's like right by the shoulders and then the middle of on both sides of like the backbone, like both shoulder blade area.
Okay,
So,
so close your eyes.
okay.
All right, so I want you to just relax. So whether you have to sit back or turn your video off, I don't care. Just
Okay.
Just relax, right? Relax. And now let's tune into that energy in your back. And everybody here could close their eyes too and support you in this so that you could tune in a little deeper. So when you tune into that area that's in your back, what does it feel like? Not
I keep on hearing like not good enough.
okay,
It's
well, we're
felt
not talking about that, but I'm talking about does it feel hot? Does it feel cold? Does it feel, how does it feel? Does it feel like a rock is sitting on your back? Does it feel like, what does it feel like?
I would say like a rock.
Okay. And so the pain between your shoulders, does it make it hard for you to breathe? What else are we feeling from that
It
pain?
feels heavy.
It feels heavy. Okay. Okay. And let's go up to your neck area and let's feel into your neck area, right? I want you to come down into your heart a little bit more because you're a little too much in your head. Okay. So I want you to come down. If you have to put your hands on your heart, put your hands on your heart. Just come into your heart a little more, right? And so when you come into your neck area,
Feels like I can't breathe.
feels like you can't breathe. Okay. And so if you're looking at this energy that's sitting between your shoulders and your back, what does it look like? What kind of, what is it? Is
Thick. It's
it's thick. It's a thick energy. Okay. So you feel like you're carrying something on your back. Okay. So, you know, because when you're describing the energy that you're feeling between your shoulders and your back, let go of the idea of trying to figure it out and tell me what's the first thing your mind will flash on when you're thinking about your shoulders and your back. Take yourself out of the equation. But if you were talking to somebody else, right, and you were sitting in assessment of pain in their shoulders and their back, what would that reflect to you?
Somebody's pain in their shoulders and their back.
See, you're in your head. You write out, you write right out into your head.
Okay, so when I, so this is the image I'm getting in my head. This is crazy. But it feels like I'm in the sand and somebody's putting their feet on my shoulders.
Yeah, okay. So you feel like you're carrying somebody or somebody is being carried on your back. Okay. Because the first thing that came for me was like you had a saddle on your back and you're being ridden, you know? Yeah. So where would you say that could be true for you in your circumstances at home? Is it with managing the household by yourself because your husband's not home a lot, or so you're managing the household and the kids and everything else, right? Because
Always.
he's not home, right? Okay. So how can you turn that around to self-empower instead of feeling like you don't have any power or you're not powerful? How can you turn that around? How can you look at that?
I feel like I just felt like if I was by myself, I have to do it anyway.
Yes.
That's what came to,
Yes.
and it closed my eyes.
Yeah. So, in that sense, not that you want to, but when you free yourself of the idea that he has to be there to help you or do it with you or do it for you, and you free yourself of that idea and you free your back from feeling like he's standing on it because, you know, you're not getting any kind of help, right? You're like you're giving him a piggyback ride because he's not standing next to you. He's standing on your back, right? When you free yourself of that, he can stop playing that role for you.
Okay, I'll work on
Because
that.
when we look at timelines and we look at these timelines and we look at our intention in the way in which we are directing our energy, right? If we are everything in our reality, and you, in essence, are your husband, and he's a projection of you and your consciousness, can you see how you're projecting the image or the idea of someone who is not supportive?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, so once you decide that you don't need to play that out anymore, and it doesn't matter if there is someone or not, you're more than capable, you're going to continue to play that out. But once you decide that you don't need to do that anymore, it can stop and the pain will go away.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does, and it's going to take a little bit to get to my head, but yeah.
Well, because what you're in is you're locked in the idea or the matrix paradigm of marriage, right? And that matrix paradigm of marriage says we must have a partner, or that partner must be engaged in our day-to-day experience, or they must step up and take on half of the responsibility, or whatever we deem that they should be responsible for as their share in our life, right? Yeah. And then what that does is that in turn diminishes our power. It diminishes how we see ourselves, because we no longer see ourselves powerful. We see ourselves as needing another to help us fulfill our, purpose in life, or living situation, or whatever it is you want to call it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So these are the things that we have to start letting go of, right? And the idea to and I can say from my own experience, right? So some days when we feel the challenge, right? Like, okay, today, because it's Wednesday, I have to get dinner done. I need to personally sit down and eat by like 5:30 at the latest, because otherwise I'm not going to be in the place that I want to be in for the class, right? So I need to do that. I also need to feed the cats. There's four of them to feed. Then I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that, right? So we're putting this list together in our head. All right. And as we're putting that list together in our head, the ego wants to start projecting how are you going to get that all done? How are you going to be able to do all of that? Are you going to have enough time to do that? Well, what's that gonna look like? Oh my, that's so exhausting, or that's a lot, or whatever the ego has got going on, right? It has this dialogue conversation that we're not even paying attention to. And so we have to be careful when we're having that conversation with ourselves, that we're not having a conversation that is a detriment to us in our creation of the reality that we're desiring. Okay? Like, I'm going to use Tamara for just a second. Earlier, when Tamara first came on the call, she said about going to, flying, and she really didn't want to fly because I don't really want to fly because I think vitamins can be successful. What's wrong with that statement? Can anybody tell me? I don't want to fly because I think vitamins can be successful and I'd rather focus on vitamins. What's wrong with that statement?
She's thinking.
She used the word think. I think. Right? Thank you, Sue. So how can it become the intention of success if there's uncertainty in the creation? Right? How can it become a something if we're not giving it something energy? Right? Here's the thing. We hear all the time people would say, oh, you know, I hope it works out. And then we look at that and we go, well, hope is really a low vibrational word. There is hope says, I am not sure, don't know if it's going to happen. I really don't know. I hope so, but I don't really think so. And then we look at the word faith, right? I have faith it's going to work out. I have faith. But if we look at the word faith, faith is still not a high-flying vibrational word. It's still not, right? So we could say, yeah, I have faith. I have faith it's going to happen. Does it sound like I have faith that's going to happen?
No.
No, right? So what did I just do? I lowered the possibility of it happening because of my lack of intention towards faith, right? But if I say, I'd rather not fly because I know for a fact Vitamals is the ticket. Vitamals is going to be on the map, right? Vitamals is going to be a success. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Sounds high vibrational.
Right? Now, does that sound like creation we want to make? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did I do? I changed the stream of consciousness to a higher intention, right? I intended from a higher place within myself to create my true desire. Now, if we're not clear and if we're not paying attention and we're playing and we're not really serious creators, we're not serious, right? But we're playing with the idea of creating. We're never gonna get the golden ticket. Why? Because we're not paying attention to our words. You can't create from a low vibrational state of being. You can't. It's just not possible, right? It's like, you know, I hear people talk about the dating app Tinder or one of the other ones. You've got to swipe it, right? It's some kind of swiping thing. Like if you like the person, you swipe it this way. If you don't like it, you swipe it the other way, right? But just think about it. It's the same thing as something that pops up in your reality, right? Like you could say, oh, look, you know, this house popped up or whatever. And you go, yep, it's not the one. Oh, why wasn't it the one? Well, it didn't have the amount of acres I wanted, didn't have this, didn't have that. Next house pops up and you're like, oh, that's close, but still not the one, right? Because you're so certain about the one that you want, about what it is that you're wanting, about what it is that you're desiring, about what it is that you're intending into the universe. Because at the end of the day, the universe is not on the outside of you. You are the universe. I can't express that enough. Right? We are the universe. It is inside of us. If you look down into the cell and you find that atom, and then through the atom, you find the protons, the neutrons, the electrons, whatever, you're going to find another universe. Okay? We're a universe within a universe within a universe within a universe within a universe within. That's why they call it the multiverse, right? But it's not out there. It's out there nowhere. It's in here. It's all within us. Does this make sense? It's not the outer reality. Now, you know when someone says, I'm sending you light and love, right? or you're glowing today, or oh, you're a light worker, I'm a light worker, whatever, right? They mean it. They mean it. You know why they mean it? Be unconsciously, right? But somehow consciously we know. The thing called the sun up in the sky, right? It's spitting out volumes of energy to us, right? This massive energy that's coming our way. And some of what's coming our way are protons. Protons. What did I just say we were filled with? Protons, right? Isn't that what's in atom? Is proton? And if we're filled with protons and the sun is sending us more protons, does that mean that we're filling with light? Right? So we really are light beings at the end of the day. And do you remember when I said a couple classes back, like if you could take the adamantine particles that we see with our naked eye that are bouncing around out there that are all scattered and whatever, and you decide that you need to fix your finger or build a new hand or something like that, and you get them to, kind of mold that together for you, and you're like, hey, come over here, I need a new hand, right? I lost my fingers, need a new hand. And they do that and they mold to your hand. Why? Because it's light and we're all light anyway. We're little dots of pixelations. We're not what we think we are. We've talked about this a thousand times where everything, I mean, this looks solid because my mind was trained that this is a solid mass. But at the end of the day, if I could meditate on this bottle and really start to expand it out and explore that, this would end up disappearing and becoming a mass of pixelated matter. It wouldn't exist because I would have broken it down. You could do that, you would start to show you this. The edge of a windowsill or the edge of a wall. Start practicing softening your eyes and just sitting and softening your eyes and staring at the edge of something, right? You'll know you're onto it when it starts to wiggle. You'll see the edge start to wiggle because what you're doing is you're disrupting the matter. Because your understanding is saying, hey, I know you're not real. You're not real, but my mind really thinks you're real. And how do I break down the programming of my mind to see that you're not real? I'm going to just play with you, and I'm going to just play, and I'm going to look at the, and you're going to see it wiggle and it wiggle and it wiggle and it wiggle, and it'll become bigger and bigger. The more that you play with it, the bigger it will become, right? Until you go outside and then you start to see the matter in the air, the energy in the air. And that is a great way that you can play with energy. The projection of what's inside, our beliefs are so rooted, we're so deeply rooted by our training and our upbringing and our parents' beliefs and the school systems we've been in and everything else that, that's why it's hard for us to make changes, right? That's why it's hard for us to lose weight or have a different experience in our body because we believe that we have to be this way. We believe that we can't lose weight or it's hard to lose weight or whatever. But yet, when we put our mind to it and we decide that we're going to lose weight, weight comes off very, very easily because we have redirected the intention toward our ability to lose weight. It's all from within, right? So, Jen, for you, that projection that you want to play with is the projection that. It doesn't matter if there's someone else to play this game with you or not. You came here to express yourself in this way as Jennifer, as a animal communicator, as the mom of three, sometimes four, but as the mom of three. And you know that you have tremendous abilities and skills, and you don't need anybody else to do this with you, for you. But when you forget, it feels like you're carrying a weight on your shoulder because you perceive the burden that you have in your life as being there because you don't have your significant other with you, right?
Yes.
And yet, from a higher consciousness perspective, when we get to that higher place within ourselves, we don't want or need anybody else because we recognize we're all we need, right? That's it. You don't need anybody else. If they come along with you, it's great. But if they don't, that's okay too. And when you start to realize that, the perspective changes because then you are not tied to a something else. And when you do that, you're liberating yourself in such a way from being bound to the confines of the three-dimensional matrix that has us playing the game of life. And Joanne says, those thoughts are deep-rooted. Yes, they're very deep-rooted. And we have to work consciously to remove them, right? So I had a client show up today, very emotional. And they were having a bad day at work. And I knew it wasn't about work. I knew it was about something else, but I let them play it out. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna let you vent. You go right ahead and do that. I can't interact right now because work and everything else, but you go ahead, you do that and vent. And then later tonight came back and told me that it actually wasn't anything to do with work. They were mad. I'm going to quit. I can't stand it. It's not. And I said, you know, I said, I knew it wasn't about work. What is going on? And they were like, it's life challenges. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, the gist of it was someone was asking them to do something that they didn't feel like they were capable of doing, right? And I said, it's okay to say no. Is that a new revelation? It's okay to say no. It's okay not to do it. It's okay if it doesn't feel comfortable, if it's not in your wheelhouse, it's okay to say no, I can't do that. I don't like that. It doesn't feel good. I can't do it. It doesn't fit me, doesn't suit me, whatever. So you don't even have to explain it. You just say, no, I can't do that. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm very sure. Okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And they did. And the other person was like, oh, no problem. Okay, not a problem. But we make it a problem because we think that the other person's not going to understand, or we think that, you know, we're going to be looked at as bad, right? Or we think we're going to be rejected in some way. And that is a perception in our mind. It's a perception in our mind. You know, animals are unconditional because they don't really care what another thinks of them, right? Have you ever noticed that with animals? They don't care. Bella smacks every cat in this house. She does not care what they think of her. She does not care, right? And her response is, I'm smack him until he smacks me back. And then I can't do it anymore. But until that happens, I'm going to keep doing it because it's a game, because it's fun for her, right? She's doing it because it's fun for her. What about us? When do we do things that are fun for us, right? Without taking life so seriously. But every time we tie ourselves to the 3D matrix through like the family game, the family narrative, it's got to be this way, it's got to look that way, we're going to suffer. Because that is simply how we came in to play this earth game. Right? It's simply how we came in to give ourselves the experience of being human, being this higher source consciousness in this very physical body. And we're always out there chasing the source, chasing purity, chasing the word, chasing, you know, the guru. It's not outside of you. It's right within you. It's right within you. And if you like something I say, or you like what we experience here, that's awesome. Because it's every one of your consciousnesses coming back at you. It's not me. It's what we've created here is a dynamic between all of us in this community. So if you think I walk away at the end of the day and take credit for anybody, it's not me. I'm a conduit and hearing what is needed to come through so that we can have a better experience communing with ourselves. Right? And that is when we can play the game of judgment, or we can let that go. Right? Looking at what we should do, or what we could do, or to do it different, to do it better, or to do it like them, or to make someone like us, or make someone think we're smarter, or have it all together, or that's another game, right? All we have to do is come with our purity. All we have to do is come with our light, because we are light beings. We're filled with protons, right? We're filled with light. This reality is happening so fast. It's happening so fast that we don't even realize how fast it's happening, because we're so rooted in this idea of the physical. But if we could let go of the physical and really start to play with the idea of manifesting and really set the intention, right? Like tonight, Tamara's like, that's it. I know my business is successful. It's successful starting now. My business is successful. And there's nobody that's going to tell me it's not successful. And success can only come my way, because I am the epitome of success. I am the epitome of love. I am the epitome of healing and health and wellness and, heightened intention for everybody on the earth to benefit from vitamins. So my business is a success. It's already a success, because in my mind, it's a success. In my state of knowing, it's a success. Right? Can only be a success. Just like my 5 acres manifested, I never said to the universe, I have to buy the house. I never said that. I wasn't even thinking that. I was just thinking I wanted 5 acres, because it would be nice to live on 5 acres and not really see anybody, right? And have retreats, and you could all come and gather with me. We could do this in person and hang out for a weekend or a week or a month or whatever, right? But I never said anything about buying it. I didn't say that. Right? So that little faux pas that I left out wasn't important, I guess, because I didn't think it. I didn't say it. Right? So I think it's just fun to stay in the moment and just play now, play and see what comes of it. What comes? What's going to come next? What will be the next adventure to have? But when we're looking at it from a perspective where we don't see the possibilities and we limit ourselves, we can't be in our expansion, because we are our universe. I am my universe, and you are all your universe. And we're coming together so that we can know each other as universes, right? Because your universe is unique and special unto you, and my universe is unique and special unto me. And when we start to realize that we are the perpetuator of the creation of all that we desire, we'll stop giving our power away to other people and circumstances and situations, right? And I mean, Jen has had a clear vision of that today because something happened with a husband. It's the letting go and the detachment to a specific outcome. And when she thinks big and she expands her awareness and she comes from a place within her that says, I don't care. I'm not going to focus on how much I don't like the people at my barn that irritate me. And I'm not going to focus on how annoying it is to have to deal with their horses and taking them in and out all the time. And I'm not going to focus on how annoying it is with the barn owner. And I'm not going to focus on all these things that annoy me. Instead, I'm going to make my videos and I'm going to start making some barn vlogs on YouTube, and I'm going to talk about bits, and I'm going to talk about how to stop a biting horse, and I'm going to talk about what it's like to work with my horse doing groundwork, and I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about that, and here's some ideas for what you need to do with your horse, right? And the more she did that, and the more she let go of what she did not like, what was she doing? She was creating the reality that she loved. She's creating the reality that she truly desires, right? What Jen needs to do next is she needs to let go of needing to have her husband. Hold on one second. She needs to let go of needing to have her husband on board with her, right? Because the minute it's not an importance anymore, the minute it's not important anymore, okay, she will, her farm will manifest for her. Everything that she desires is gonna come to her, okay? But if she's still focusing on what's not in the picture or what's not happening, what do you think she's going to get more of? The thing that annoys her the most, right? So she's saying, because her husband now said, oh, we're going to sell this building and we're going to make it apartments. We're going to sell this building and we're going to get you a farm and then you can run the farm because I don't want to work anymore. So you can work and it'll all be good, right? And Jen's like, yeah, I'm all for that. That'll be good. Okay. But as long as she keeps thinking she needs him to run her world or she needs him to support her world, it's not going to happen because she's given her power away. Right? Who knows? Maybe by the next gathering, Jen will have shifted all of this. Her husband will come back and find there was a loophole. Guess what? We can make the apartment buildings, right? Because now Jen knows I'm just keep making my vlogs. I'm just gonna stay in my highest alignment. I'm gonna stay in my happy place and I'm gonna just keep vlogging and making myself happy. And the next thing you know, there's her farm. That because that's how it works. The minute we let go. But if we stay focused on the things that are not working, even a little thing that's not working or something that you look at it, face it, right? Face it and see what is it that I'm not seeing, right? What is it that I'm creating here? Because now it's looking me in the face and it's smacking me and I don't like that. That doesn't feel good, right? So we need to be the one to make the change. That's bringing me to Star Wars. If you watched the Star Wars movie and you saw where they were looking for Luke Skywalker and he's with Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? He's in a car, he's with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Luke Skywalker's in the car, and two of the guards come over to the car as they're trying to drive through the town. And it said, and Luke says to him, they're looking for me. They're gonna know I'm in the car with you. And Obi-Wan says, no, they're not. Don't worry about it. And he's like, but yes, they are looking for me, right? Luke is all upset. They're looking for me. And he's like, no, it's okay. They're not looking. Don't worry about it. And then the guards come over and say, have you seen a blah, blah, blah? And Obi-Wan Kenobi says, the person you are looking for is not here. And the guard says, oh, it seems the person we are looking for is not here. And then Obi-Wan Kenobi says something like, we must have made a mistake in stopping you. And the guard says, carry on, we must have made a mistake in stopping you. Right? What is he doing? He's redirecting his intention for what he wants as his outcome. Right? And so, because he's able to redirect, they don't get arrested. They don't get pulled over. Luke Skywalker doesn't get in trouble. Now, I know I sent that video clip out a long time ago, right? But it's so relevant for what we're talking about. Okay? That would be bending the reality. You see an opportunity to shift something that is not working, right? Or that's not in alignment with what you are desiring. And you create another pathway. That's what Obi-Wan Kenobi did, right? He created another pathway. Jen sees. I'm almost at the barn. I've almost got that barn in my pocket. I'm almost there. What can I do to bend this reality and redirect my intention? Right? Now, she's not going to plant the seed in her husband's head that he comes home and he says, hey, guess what? There was a loophole, right? She's not going to do that, but she knows that that barn is coming. So, what does she need to do to make sure that that barn shows up? Because what is it tied to? Can anybody tell me? What's that barn tied to? She wants the barn to show up. What's it tied to? It's tied to her happiness and joy. Where is her happiness and joy? At the barn with her horse. Right? Do you see that? So, if she wants that to come in and she wants to manifest that, what does she have to do? She has to keep creating in that likeness, right? That got her so close. She's almost there. She's been doing a great job. Yeah, we work on this every week. It doing a great job, and she says every week she's like, I'm frustrated with this one. Okay, let's redirect the frustration. She does that, and boom, she's getting closer to that barn. That's how it works, right? Tamara wants that business deal to come in. What does Tamara have to do? Think Vitamals is the best thing ever happened in the world. The best thing. Everybody needs to know about Vitamals. Everybody needs to taste it. Everybody needs to have it in their house, right? She has to believe that that product is the product. It is the product, the best product in the world. If we look at the movie The Matrix, we can look at the scene where the Oracle tells Neo he's not the one, right? He doesn't have the superpowers, he's not the one. And he goes away believing the Oracle. Okay. And then suddenly, he's in a fight in the Matrix with the bad guys. And his back is against the wall because he's run to a dead end of the building. He can't get out of there, and he knows it's either the end or he's going to fight to save his life, right? So he chooses to fight to save his life. And in that choosing to fight to save his life, he suddenly engages this idea of his own importance. And engaging in the idea of his own importance, he ignites the power within him to become the one. Because if the Oracle had told him he was the one, do you think he would have ignited that power? What if I told you you're the one? Every one of you're all the one. Can you handle it? Can you be a receiver of it? Can you get the ego out of the way and not need to tell anybody you're the one? Can you get the ego out of the way and not tell anybody how great you are? Or how much magic you hold? Or how much magic you possess? Or what you know? Or what you can do? Can you do that? Or maybe you need to let people know I'm here. I don't have to shout it from the rooftops, but I'm here and I'm standing strong. And if you want me, you know where I'll be. But I'm here. Right? Can you feel the power in that? Can you feel your own power in that? Because you're all the one, all of you. Even if it makes you uncomfortable. And when you forget you're the one, you go unconscious. And you play small. And the ego is in charge. And then you're mad at somebody else for doing something to you. Where you have to show people how great you are because you don't believe you're great. Or you're enough, or that you're special, but you have to tell them. But if you just hold that vibration, just be it, just hold it, and be the greatness that you are, and see everybody from the perspective of love. And compassion, because we're all in the same boat doing the same thing, having mostly the same experience. Here for the same adventure. We're here for the same adventure. Kind of makes it easier to understand that and have the love and compassion for others when we think somebody has done something to us. Because then it makes it easier. Right? Liz, I think this is you on your iPhone.
Yes, it is. Can you hear me or see me?
Yep, I can
I
hear
can,
you.
yeah, I can get you back on the computer.
That's okay.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I have a friend that for some reason I had this bad gut feeling about her for about 6 months. And she had a cough and they couldn't figure out what it was. So she just went to the doctor for an x-ray and they saw a spot on her lung, but they saw something on her liver. Long story short, she texted me last night and said, "Hey, Liz, I have bile duct cancer, which is a very rare, aggressive cancer that I probably don't even have 5 years to live." So I immediately went into our mode. And I called her and I said to her, "You're going to get through this." I said, I just started preaching to her. "You say, I want you to look in the mirror, say, I love you. I want you to say, cancer, you're not welcomed in my body. Get out of your body." I said, "I want to hear an affirmation from you every single day. I don't care what it is. Wake up and say, it's a beautiful day and start off on the right path." And I want to hear, she says, "Oh my God, what a great idea. What a great idea." And she never, ever thought about looking in the mirror and saying that. And I'm like, "I don't want to hear anything negative. Oh, it's probably less than 5 years." I'm like, "No, say, I'm going to beat this. You have to be positive. And I kept telling her, I will be there for you. I'll be there for you. I said, can't you feel the tight hugs that I'm giving you right now through this? Can you feel it? And so she's going to the doctor to find out the results Friday. And I said, I want to go with you. She said, I have to let you know I'm not sure. Then finally, she said, yes, I do want you to come, but I'm going to have my sister who's 3 hours away on the phone to hear it. I said, she absolutely needs to be on the phone. I just want to go just to support her. And I was so worried about overstepping my boundaries, but I needed her to hear, get out, cancer, get out. And she said, I can't believe I feel so much better after I just talked to you, but I still need to keep drilling it. I don't want to say drilling it, but I need her to be positive. And then
Okay, let me stop you because I don't know if anybody hears that you're like in victim mode right now. You're a victim to her cancer. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you need her to heal this?
Because I, she's young. She's young. I think she's your age or maybe younger. And I feel that just in the right mind. And I said, my friend just healed someone of cancer. She went to England. And I said, I want her to talk to you, but I'm so worried about stepping over and pushing her away.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. Okay. I understand your intention. And, I've been working with people with cancer for many years. I think the first experience I had was probably in 2006, 2006. And, I was you. I wanted her to live. She was in stage four and terminal end stage cancer.
I actually
I
remember.
really, I wanted her to live. And, and it was very hard for me to, as a healer, doing the healing, doing Reiki and everything else, to think that somebody wouldn't live, But I'm gonna just tell you that I think that your friendship would be best served if you could let her come to you and tell you what she needs, because this, when cancer shows up, right, and when a life crisis like that shows up, it's at a soul level, and it's happening because there is a tremendous imbalance between what the soul is here to do and what the human is doing. Okay, there's this huge separation in the gap, and I'm going to tell you from my own personal experience with bile duct cancer, probably 3 years ago, I think it's 3 years ago or 4 years ago, somebody I knew from Twitter that I became friends with, her sister had bile duct cancer, and she bought her a session with me in hopes that her sister, who was very spiritual, very spiritually aligned, in hopes that her sister would do her work with me. But her sister was like your friend, in tremendous resistance. Okay. And your friend, from what you are telling me, is in resistance. And I'm going to tell you that, well, I'm friends with this woman now. Her name is Ellen, but her sister did not make it because she did not want to do the work that I wanted her to do. She basically told me no. Okay, she couldn't do it. I can't do what you're asking me to do. I said, okay, I understand, but you have to understand that you're going to continue to create the energy that you are experiencing in your body right now. She said, I know, I'm fine with that, right? And I had to be okay with that. All right. It just so happened that, it is very rare. I'm going to just be honest. It's very rare to come across people like John and Linda where, Both parties involved were like, deep dive into doing the work, and then basically they worked with me every week, 2 times a week, sometimes three when they were having a moment. Does that happen often? No, I could tell you it doesn't. And most people don't want to do the work that have cancer, right? But from my perspective, and this might be very hard to hear, your position in her life would be far better served if you did not impose your need for her healing on her and let her come to you and ask you to help her. Because you have to understand that there is tremendous amount of, I hate the word lessons because it's not really how it works, but there's a tremendous experience here that she is going through, that it's this very rare bile duct cancer. There's something very, very important in that she is dealing with. And if you want to be, like her cheerleader, back up. Back up. Let her do it her way. Look at why you need it, you need to be imposing in this. And I'm not saying this from a mean perspective at all, because I know your intention is pure love. I want my friend to live. She's got everything to live for. But you're up against the soul.
It's her journey now, and
What?
I know it's her journey and her soul contract, and I just want her to be a little positive. And so if she can't, I have been mentally sending her manifesting positive notes for her.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is one of the most important things to really understand with this whole thing is that she's going to be up against her dialogue with the doctors, okay? And Loretta could share from the perspective of the client Vito that she goes to see, who's got ALS, I think. And your positive spin is all great and good, but at the end of the day, if she's going to the doctor and the doctor, because he's got the credentials of MD behind his name, and he tells her that, this is what you can expect from the treatment, or this is what you can expect from this cancer, you better believe that she is going to be expecting that as her results. And there is nothing you are going to do that's going to change her mind from that expectation, because the doctor is telling her to expect it. So I care about your friend, but I care about you and your emotional state even more. And this is a very real part of this reality with healing. Okay. What I do can sometimes be extremely exhausting because it's very emotionally charged. And if the person is, an eighth off track with anything, it makes a huge difference in whether or not they're gonna have a healing. Okay. And I know your intention for her is from the highest, but you have to understand, Liz, that this is her journey and she's gonna manage it how she wants to. I had a woman who owned a spiritual store here on Long Island come to me, stage four, and she sat in the chair in front of me. Well, I was in the other house. This is many, many years ago, like 5, 6 years ago. And I said to her, "Why did you wait so long?" And she said, "Well, I tried other things and yada, yada." And when, and I said to her, "Look, if you're looking for somebody to heal you, the only person that's going to heal you right now is you. Nobody can heal you. You're looking to outside of this. She got really bad advice at the stage that she was at when she was first diagnosed with cancer. I hate to say this, but I would have told her to have the chemo. I would have said, let's do the chemo, which is what we did with Linda, with John's wife, Linda. Do the chemo. I will help you through it. We're gonna make recordings. We're gonna make the chemo look like, Christ the light. We're gonna make it all of this positive stuff and everything, which we did, and that's how she beat it and went into remission. This is not just, telling her to look in the mirror. There's so much more that's gonna be behind this, unfortunately. Loretta, you want to come on and share about Vito? Because I mean, this is the reality of it. And unfortunately, the doctor has a greater power over the, subliminal suggestion.
Yeah.
What did you find with Vito?
He was always so I haven't seen him. Well, I went for lunch with him, but I haven't worked with him because he's in his own space, and you just have to let them have and be in their own space where they meet them where they are. That's what I say. And
But
I always felt it like when we work together.
let me just say one thing for a second, right? Because I don't want to take too long on this. But the doctor had told him certain things to expect.
Yeah. And of course it happened, like his toes would be hooking over, but I said, and he was like, I can't take my shoes off. I need my shoes on when we work, this, that, and the other thing. And I said, well, take your shoes off and get on the mat and we'll see how it goes. And he was perfectly fine with me. He was balancing. I was pushing into him. I said, I think maybe we should videotape and send this to the doctor. But we had a few discussions, but I always told to him, talk to him. I said, I don't care what they tell you. I want to know what your truth is. How do you feel about your body? How do you feel when we're working together and you see how your abilities that you can do these things, even though they're telling you you cannot, what is your truth? And I said to him, that's what you have to find and figure out. What is your truth? What is your reality that you want? Not what they're telling you. I don't care what the hell they say. They can say anything. But what is in your reality and what is your truth? So he would think about it, and he had good days and bad, but he really just takes in everything they say is, and things have progressed with him, you know.
And you see, one of the things that Linda didn't do is she made it clear that she did not want to hear anything the doctor had to say with regard to what she could expect from the chemo, the treatments, any of that stuff, right? She was like, don't give me any of that. I don't want to hear any of it. I don't want to feed into it. She never lost any of her hair, right? Never lost any of her hair. She never lost any of her strength or anything like that because we bypassed all of the medical mumbo jumbo with her. So she's the epitome of, health and wellness. And they still look at her now and they're like, we don't know how you did it. Nobody's asking, nobody cares. But this is what you're up against. So Liz, if you're, I just don't want you to be disappointed because it already sounds like she's got it in her head that she needs to, hear what the doctor has to say. And you can push her to have all of this good self-talk, and it could sound good to her in theory, like with Vito, it sounded good to him when Loretta was doing it with him. But healing is a full-time job, and she has to want to take on that job of healing.
I think when she told me this and I spoke to her, I think that's when she found the news. So I think she was just absorbing it at that moment. But I just wanted to feel like I'm manifesting it for her. And you're right. How many times have you have told me that I can see but do not feel? And
You can't manifest it for somebody else.
can't. I
You
can't.
can't. So you're gonna so and this is like really an important part of this. You are gonna give your power over to trying to save her, help her, using your power that in a way that's not gonna support you. and deplete you and offer you the potential to get sick yourself, why would you do that? If like I always say this, somebody is in our life for a reason, right? Look at her as a mirror. What is it that she's mirroring to you? She's mirroring to you where she will not fight for herself. So where are you with upholding for yourself, fighting for yourself? What is making you need, I use this term loosely, do not shoot me, to be a savior here, right? To be her savior. Where is that coming from? That's where I want you to look to see where that imbalance is, because if you hold the higher perspective, right? I mean, my brother didn't want to tell me he had colon cancer, and his wife made him because he was looking to take an herbal medicine and he had chemo treatments he was on or something like that. And she made him call me and tell me that he had colon cancer and ask me about the medication. And I answered his question and I was like, oh, you have, okay, well, yeah, you can't take that herb. If you're taking that, you can't take that herb. And he said to me, oh, okay, thank you. And I said, okay, if you need anything else, I'm here. And that was my brother. That was my brother, not a friend, but my brother. Right? But I know it's not up to me. If somebody wants healing, let me tell you, okay? They are going to find you. They're going to find healing. And if they know you know someone that just got somebody else in metabolic remission after stage four cancer, they're going to ask for that, right? But someone that is already got a defeated attitude because maybe they carry the victim card energy with them is not going to be asking for that. And then what you're giving yourself in this whole experience is an opportunity to be rejected.
Yeah. No, I get it.
And where has that played in your life?
I know when I was like, no, we have to throw this out to the universe. And it's like, please do this. It's like you want to just tell them everything you know so they can work with it. And you're right, it has to come from them. And I will go with her on Friday to the doctor and just sit there and take notes for her because she did ask, did say, please come with me.
And
And
just know that if something should change and she calls you Thursday night and says she's changed her mind and she's just going to have her sister on the phone, do not be upset.
no, I told her I will respect her and give her the space she needs at any time, but just know that I'm there for you if you need me. And she wrote back, God bless you. So I feel a lot better just speaking this out because I didn't know if I should just continue until because she seemed so excited now and she actually sounded so somewhat uplifted after I was speaking to her. So I guess we'll just let her hear. I want her to go to Sloan Kettering to get a second opinion, and I don't know if I should recommend that to her personally. I think she should just get a second opinion. She goes, oh, I just want to schedule surgery in 2 weeks and get this over with.
Yeah, so she's in a hurry for this cancer situation. I mean, honestly, if I were you, I would stop making suggestions and let her do it her way, because she's going to, and it's only going to frustrate you.
Okay. Thank you.
She's going to do everything the doctors tell her to do. She's going to expect everything the doctors tell her to expect. And it's going to frustrate the hell out of you. Why do you want to play that game? Why do you want to feel the rejection? You know the game you're playing here. You're playing the game of rejection. Why do you want to feel that?
Yeah, I don't really look at it that way, but from your perspective, yeah, it makes sense.
So I think you need to do some work on that and maybe sit and journal on what is not done for you with regard to rejection.
Okay. I'm sorry to bring this up. I thought it was a little bit of what we were talking about or saying, oh, I hope, and hope is a horrible word. I'm trying to make her be positive and thought that this is on some level of that, but I guess it's a lot deeper than that.
Yeah, and listen to your words. I'm trying to make her be positive. It doesn't work. When John and Linda found out that there was cancer, I didn't have to do anything. They came to me. They told me the parameters. We want to work with you twice a week for this full month, and then we'll see where we go after that. So I scheduled the sessions, they paid me, and then the next month they were like, yep, we're doing it again because we need the support because this is working.
Yeah, positive brings positive. I mean, it's.
I didn't seek them out. I didn't ask them or beg them to work with me. I didn't beg them to take my advice. Nothing. When Loretta was working with Vito, she explained the situation to me, came, asked me what I said, the same exact thing, and she will tell you the same exact thing I'm saying to you now is what I told her with him. I said, be prepared for him not to do the work because he's going to listen to everything the doctor is suggesting for him. That's where you can take the reality, or you can step into an offshoot, bending it and follow Liz's advice or follow Loretta's advice, or but they're not willing to do that. They're taking the reality verbatim. And she's already got it in her head. I have to get this done. I only have 5 years. And if you don't believe me, just watch, sit back and watch. It's not going to take 5 years. She'll go faster than that.
It's
Unless
like when Vito says, oh, it's a progressive disease. I'm like,
that's what the doctors say, right?
yeah.
Isn't that the exact words the doctors say? It's a progressive disease.
So it progressed.
So it continuously progresses. Listen, it's not an ego thing, but I'm gonna tell you, if you have cancer, I'm the one you want on your team.
I know that's what I was leading to. And not
yeah.
everybody feels that way.
Now I've even given him, sent him Maria's link and had talked to him about her, and he never contacted her.
Not everybody's going to feel that way. I don't take it personally, right? I'm telling you, Liz,
Can't.
don't take it personally. It's not a reflection on you. When my friend Ellen's sister, who had bile duct cancer, and was told the same thing. She was running out of time. And I said, it's very easy. All you have to do is do this. And she said, no, I can't do that. I said, are you kidding me? No, I can't do that. I can't. Was like, okay, well, you know the end result of this. And she was like, I do. What you're asking me to do, I can't do. I was like, okay.
You have to respect their wishes because that's what they want. And like you said, you can stand on your head. It's not going to make them, they have their mind made up. And so I already decided after Friday going with her, I will give her space and let her settle.
Liz, because you will just get lost
I will.
in the downward motion of this whole thing and become depressed and every don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay.
We have to look at people where they are. And she's asking you to meet her where she is. She's already made up her mind. This is a life sucks. Look at what I was handed. Blah, 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 blah. I'm doing everything the doctor's telling me. I'm not going to go for a second opinion. I don't want to talk to anybody who's holistic. She's already signing the death certificate, right? As hard as that is to say. Every man for himself. And I hate to say that, but this is why we're here. You're here to learn something from this. Even
Yeah.
my brother, I did not chase him and say, I could save you. I could help you. I have all the answers. I know how to do this. I could beat this with you. I didn't do that. I was like, okay, if you need anything else, let me know. It was my brother.
Yeah. I appreciate the time because I needed your support on this of to just let go. And I kind of made my mind up to give her space. And if she needs me, she knows I'm there.
Yeah, don't put yourself through this. It's too much. It's not your battle. I know you love her as a friend and everything, but at the end of the day, if she's not willing to stand up for herself, you can't.
Nope, I can't.
We can't champion for someone that's not willing to champion for themselves. We just can't do that. Right?
Yeah.
So this is where you just, you start to now lean the timeline back the other way, right? Bend it back the other way in your favor toward you. Shake yourself off and keep it moving.
Yeah. Sounds perfectly.
Sometimes we have to take a lesson in self-sacrifice, right? She's willing to sacrifice herself here. Because she's not worth pursuing healing. So,
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Loretta.
You're welcome. Joanne?
I know that we're going to be wrapping up. I just wanted to share something, not on the same note. I was going to ask everybody. My parents are married for 70 years today. If
70 years.
everybody could send them love and light. They unfortunately are not together because they both have dementia, but if you guys just could send them love and life and wonderful class once again.
Oh, thank you. I
You're
appreciate it.
welcome.
Yeah,
Okay.
dementia's that funny animal, right? It's like
And they don't know. They don't
they're
even
here, but
know.
they don't even yeah. Well,
Yeah.
the body is still too healthy to depart the earth, so the mind goes. You know,
Correct.
that's what it is. The body is too healthy. The mind wants out. The soul wants out. So the mind goes. Mind's on the other side. They're
Right.
visiting with each other on the other side.
I
Trust
hope so. Thank you,
me.
Maureen.
They're
Thank you.
visiting with each other on the other side.
I
You know,
love it. Thank you.
yeah, that's how it works. So,
Yep. Thank you.
but we will definitely 70 years.
I had to share it. I had to share.
Oh my goodness, that is something else, but God bless
Something
them.
else.
Yeah.
And
Oh.
congratulations on your news, too.
Oh, thank you.
You're
Thank you.
welcome.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions? Any other questions? Did I cover everything? Does anybody need any deeper on timelines, right? Because we have a timeline. Oh, I know what I wanted to say, right? It's coming back to me. So your universe knows you, right? It knows everything that you have a desire for, right? And that's what's playing out in front of you in life, right? Because it's creating, even if you're not creating consciously, it's creating whatever it is that you're giving attention to, emotion to, thought to, right? It's doing that. And it's going to do that because it's like the container of the universe is within you, right? It's this vacuum that is within you. That's why, who was it? Abraham Hicks wrote, "Ask and it is given," right? Because it's all there for us. It's already there. We just have to set the intention that we're deserving of it. Jen wants her farm, so she has to just stay positively focused on the things that make her happy, because that's how the farm is going to come, right? It's not going to come if she's not positively happy, if she's not focused on that. She's focused on the negativity. What is she going to get more of? She's going to get more of the negativity, right? But if you're in a circumstance that you like the circumstance, but you want to love it, then you have to look at it. This is where bending comes in. You have to look at your situation, your scenario, and say, how can it be better? Like, how can I get to my next level? What would that look like? Where do I have to place my intention? Right? And of course, that's always joy and happiness. There's nothing really to do, right? It's the idea of creating things that bring us joy and happiness and just being in a state of joy and happiness, okay? So you have to look at your situation in your life and say, where can I grab more joy and happiness? And what would I like to see more of in my life, right? So one of the things that I did want was, horses, horse time. He's surrounded by them, right? That there's barns and farms all over the place. So I'm going to get to see them all over the place. And then I thought, oh, I could take it one step further and I can like really impose it into my reality by going and taking lessons. That would be bending the reality in the direction I would like it to go, right? Maybe something more with horses and shift the idea of it more into that direction of it, right? So I think it's really important for us to constantly take an inventory of where we are, what is it that we'd like to bring in, and what is it that we can do to put a footprint into the universe, into the cosmos, and remember, it's always coming from within us. That's going to take us that next level. That's going to take us that next step. That's going to bring us whatever it is that we're having a desire for. Does that make sense? And just remember that you don't have to prove yourself to anybody to get to that place that you want to be. Right? You don't have to do that. You don't have to tell anybody who you are. Can anybody tell me why you don't have to do that? You don't have to tell anybody who you are because you're a magnet. You're magnetic. Tamara?
Well, if you just feel in one with yourself and you feel good about yourself, you don't have to tell anybody. You know who you are. You don't have to tell anybody because you feel that way.
And then you're emulating, you're outputting that vibe
And
out to the universe. And then what happens? You become a match to everything that is in that vibration, right? No matter what it is. It could be $50,000. It's going to come to you. Where it comes from, how it comes, doesn't matter. But you become a vibrational match to it, right? You become a vibrational match to higher aligned things. And so it's really important to understand we don't have to show anybody. We don't have to tell anybody. We don't have to, make ourselves known because it's going to happen naturally. People will naturally come to us. Because we're holding a frequency, and those people that are in that frequency are going to show up for you. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yeah, but what I was going to say is that first of all, the pod foods, I just finished, I onboarded myself. I finished.
Oh, good.
After them, they came to me.
They came to you.
They came to me. And then yesterday I had a deposition with a court case I had from like 4 years ago. I had a breast reduction that was botched. It was really bad. And I'm suing the doctor and a deposition with his attorney. And I just felt so I because music raises my vibrations. I've been listening to a lot of music, and it definitely helps me. So when I went to the deposition yesterday, I just kept sending the doctor's attorney love. I kept like sending everyone love in the deposition, and he wound up being so nice to me at the end. All of them. Yeah, I think that. And also, I did when I had that awakening, I did feel very powerful because you feel like a different energy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in that vibration, it's like, you know, Loretta just got another young student, right? They're all around the age of 13. Her paintings are selling like crazy. She was just invited to do this some kind of gallery tour where she's going to be maybe in other states and stuff like that. When you're in that high flying, high vibing state, you don't have to look for anything. It shows up for you, you know? You couldn't tell me somebody was going to want to work with me and pay me for two sessions a week for a whole month that turned into a whole year, and then there would be a trip to England out of it, right? I mean, the conditions had to be so perfect. Linda had to wanted to do the work and, you know, commit herself to the work for all of that to become a reality. But yet it happened because I just stayed in that high flying place. They came with me. We were all high flying together, and that was the end result of it. But, you know, it starts with us first. We have to be the ones to, you know, make the commitment that we're going to stay in the highest vibrational place within us in order for that to work. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to.
Right. And then all those things like that you have going on, we're just creating that. They don't even mean anything. It's just like chatter.
Yes, which is why it's important to really pay attention to the timeline you're on and see is this everything? Is this it, right? Because let's face it, if we could create everything that we wanted in our life and we had everything that we wanted, we'd probably be bored as hell. Because there would be no experience to have. Instead, what we're doing is we're coming together and we're creating together by saying, "Hey, I know this one. What can we create together? Hey, I know that one. What can we create together? Hey, all of you here in the community, what can we create together?" Right? But otherwise, if we were just doing it and doing it all and getting it all and it all coming easily, there would be no excitement. We wouldn't be excited. We wouldn't care, you know. So we have to look at it and say, you know, this is an opportunity for growth. If you said, "Oh, you know, I just wasted 7 years, or I just wasted 10 years, or whatever," that's the wrong attitude to look, because it's not a waste. So much was gained through that, right? So we can't look at it from that perspective. We have to say, "Oh gosh, you know, statistically, humans are only living till about like 80 years old." But, you know, realistically, on a spiritual level, I could do 144. That's doable, right? But no limitation. That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
There's no time anyway.
And there's no time anyway, right? Time doesn't exist.
Like that guy, Neem, whatever his name is, Neem, I awakened to that because we're just here present. So there is no time. We're just
Present in
staying here
every
all the time.
Moment to see your creation and love every bit of what you're doing so that you can get more high-flying experiences coming your way. Right? We are powerful beyond comprehension. We don't even know it, but we are measuring ourselves by what we see out there instead of realizing we're already it. We're already the Buddha. We're already Paramahansa Nanda Yoga, right? We're already all of these gurus and everything else that we think that we need to emulate, right? We don't need to, right? We're already Archangel Metatron. We're already all of these things. So,
I've been having so much fun just in the
present moment, and I've been like so busy all of December with orders, and since 2 days after Christmas, like I have more orders than I have time for, and like we're getting to that time of the year that like showings on our house are increasing, so it's like you say, it's to not get bored because I'm just enjoying every moment, and I know that that is going to shift very soon, and
Yes.
it'll be a whole new thing,
Yeah.
right?
Just
Yeah.
stay in the excitement of it. Yep. Stay in excitement. Be excited, right? People will find you. Just be excited. Keep being excited. That's it. Stay in love, joy, happiness. Keep creating more joy. People will find you. All right. I know we're way over. I am so appreciative of you guys showing up tonight. Thank you very much. Our next gathering, I believe, is next week. Let me just look real quick. Yes, on the 16th, we have our full moon gathering, Thursday, 1 p.m. And we'll talk more about the energies then, right? But really try to stay away from the outer reality, the TV stuff, the news, all of that stuff. Let it just play on. Let it just play out. All right. Just keep yourself focused on what you can do to make yourself happy. What can you do next? All right. All righty. I love you guys.
Thank
Play
you.
with
I
your
love you
time
all.
zones. All right. See you soon.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Thank
Thank
you.
you, Maria.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.